Nice to be with you this morning to share with you from the Word. Before we look into the Word, we just might share a couple of things with you that are going on in the prison ministry, and also ask your prayer on behalf of Laura. We've been waiting for 2 months now. The doctors down in Baltimore applied for a special permission to use a new medicine, and it has to go through the company that makes the medicine, and it has to also go through the FDA because it's something that's not been approved for prescription uses yet. And I said it might take 2 to 3 months. It's been a little over 2 months. So pray that permission to use this might come through soon. The doctor feels this might be something that could really be of help to her. And we appreciate your prayers along this way. Also continue to pray for the prison outreach, not only in our area, but all across the country as the prisons continue to fill. Men and women are hungry for the Word. Many are getting involved in studying the Word of God there behind bars, and we rejoice in what the Lord is doing. Recently, we had something happen in our area. We've been looking for something to give some incentives to the inmates to study, as they study the Word, kind of award. And a Christian businessman in Hagerstown asked me if we could use some Christian books. He had a contact with a Christian publishing company that evidently when they have their seconds, they get rid of them. And he wanted to know if we could use some books. And it was just the very thing we've been thinking of, something to send out to the as a complete different certificates of the courses. And he said, well, he would check into it and get back with me soon. This was on a Sunday. And the next Friday, I received a call from him. And he said, your books are in. And they were at his warehouse over in Hagerstown. We went over there, and not knowing what to expect, but when we got there, there was one of these large pallets stacked high with books, 2,099 pounds of books. And what a joy it was, though. Brother Terry Schindel helped us get them transferred over to the house. But they were not just, when I thought of seconds, I thought of books maybe that were ripped and pages torn out. So I brought just a few along with you this morning to show you that if it didn't have seconds stamped on the binding, you would think that they were perfect. They were books published by Bethany House Publishers. Some of you may be familiar with some of the names of some of the authors that were there. There were numerous Jeanette Oak books and Zion Chronicle books. There were George MacDonald devotionals, personal Bible books on how to have personal Bible study, books by Andrew Murray. Just a whole host of writers. And when we sorted through them, we found that we had over 3,000 books in that shipment. So now we're using them to send out as the inmates complete like 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 units of credit. And we just ask that you would pray that these might be an encouragement to them as they study and just rejoice in the Lord with what He was able to provide. The only cost for the books was to pay the cost of the shipping, and it figured out to less than 6 cents per book. And most of these books, if you bought them in a bookstore, would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $8.99, $10.99, even more than that. And so we were thankful for the Lord's provision along that line. We would also appreciate your prayer. One of our states has been growing at quite a rapid rate, and that's Virginia. And we would like to see the Lord raise up someone who would be willing to take over the state of Virginia. It seems like all across the country, whenever someone is able to give a state to another person, they seem to build back up to the level that they had before. And the way the prison population is growing, this would probably happen again. But we would love to see someone who would be burdened for the prisoners in Virginia to take on that state. There are probably 60 state facilities in Virginia. They have a lot of small road camps, and it would be a large work. But so pray that the Lord might speak to someone's heart, that they might have an interest in taking on this state, or even maybe part of it. It would help to ease the load of the ministry tremendously. And continue to pray for those who are studying. We receive letters each week and each day. We see hurting individuals, ones who are there, knowing that they're there for crimes they've committed, and yet reaching out, looking for something to fill the void that was there. Many of them are there in prison, particularly today because of drugs and alcohol. They were trying to fill that void with something that really couldn't really give them satisfaction. So they got into crime and ended up behind bars, and they certainly need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Just recently in Maryland, a new section was opened up down below Hagerstown, and within just a couple of weeks after the section was opened, it was full of prisoners. And I think Maryland now, when we started, there were something like 8,000 prisoners in the state penal institutions in Maryland. Now there are over 18,000 just in the state of Maryland alone. And Maryland is one of the smaller states. And so pray that the Lord might be able to speak to the hearts of many of these. They might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Appreciated the word that was read there to begin with as we, from John chapter 1, because as we think about the truths that were read in those few verses, without those verses we would be nowhere today. We'd have nothing to stand upon. Now I would like to think about the truths of God's word this morning. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, the truths of God's word are under attack as they've never been under attack before, under attack from without, and also under attack, seems like many times, from within. And as I've been looking through the Word, it seems like there are possibly four, maybe you could find more, but four that we'd like to think about this morning, four attitudes towards the truth of the Word of God in the world today. And as I speak of the truths of the Word, I think of doctrinal truth, of scriptural principles that we hold dear in the assemblies, truths that we want to stand and want to keep. And these truths that in some ways are under attack in these days. And so I want to think of the four attitudes this morning toward the biblical truth we find in God's Word. And the Apostle Paul gives us in 2 Timothy a challenge concerning the truths. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And then in chapter 4 and verse 2, "Preach the word, be diligent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." Let's just look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for the wondrous privilege that we have of gathering together. We thank you for the salvation we have through our Lord Jesus Christ, for his willingness to go to that cross and pay the price that we can never pay. We pray this morning as we look into thy word, that thou wouldst speak to our hearts. We pray that there be someone here who knows not the Lord Jesus Christ, that today they might put their faith and trust in him before it's eternally too late. And Father, we just pray that all that's said and done might be to give thee the honor and the glory. It's in our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen. Paul says in chapter 3 there, he says, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." A lot of people, it seems like, learn truth, but then later forget the assurance of those truths that they have and go off in some other direction. But Paul's exhortation to us is to take these truths, to learn them, to hold to them, and not to give up on them. Truths, he says, which Timothy, which he learned from a young child. And many of us have probably heard the Word of God from the very youngest age. Maybe some who came to trust the Lord in an older age, but I'm sure many of us here heard these truths from a very young age. And Paul says, hold on to these things. Why? Well, he says there in chapter 4, there's going to be a day coming And I think we can look around and see that that very day is here when people are not going to endure sound doctrine. They want to have their own ideas, put their own ideas into it, heaping into themselves as teachers having itching ears, turning away from the truth, turn to fables. And what day could we see more of this happening than in the day that we're in? Not only through the world, but even through those who profess to be in the church. And so this morning I'd like to think about four attitudes toward the truths of God's Word. And look at four people in the Old Testament, I think, that kind of show us an illustration of each one of these attitudes. The first attitude toward the Word of God is an attitude of contempt. There are a lot of people in the world that have a total attitude of contempt to the Word of God. You look on the news and you see where at some of these rallies where maybe someone is protesting abortion, and the hatred and contempt that is in the eyes of people who are coming against these people who are protesting the murder of little babies. You see in various times things like this, the contempt that's there for those that hold to the truths of the Word of God. If you believe that sin is sin and take a stand for it, in the world today there is contempt for that stand. I think one person that kind of stands out to us in the Word of God that had a contempt for the truths of God, if we look back to 1 Kings chapter 16. And this person was a king of Israel. One who should have known and should have stood in the truths that he'd been given. But one who showed nothing but contempt for the truths of, that he should have known. And 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 30 says, "And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all who were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him, and reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made an idol, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him." Israel had some pretty bad kings, some pretty wicked people on the throne. But when Ahab came to the throne, it seemed like nothing had been like before with the attitude that Ahab had. He knew that they were to worship the Lord God. He, no doubt, being of the royal family, had heard the truths of how God had brought the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. The way that the Lord had protected them, led them through the Red Sea, brought them across the Jordan, broke down the walls of Jericho. Over and over and over, God had provided for the children of Israel. And over they had been told, worship the Lord. Hold fast to the truths that the Lord has given you, and you'll prosper. It seems when Ahab came to the throne that he had total contempt for all the things that God had done for Israel. For it says there in verse 30, he did evil in the sight of the Lord above all who were before him. If there had been some bad kings before, Ahab tried to outdo them in his rejection of the Lord. He went out and married a wife from the land, one that worshipped idols, an evil woman, Jezebel. And when he married her, then he began to worship her gods, rejecting the God of Israel, building an altar, it says in verse 32, for Baal. And then it says he did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. He had total contempt for the truths that he should have been willing to stand upon. And oh, how I see a picture of this in the world today. As we as Christians try to stand for what is right, and the world says, oh, we don't want your religion. We don't want your truths. Don't try to force that upon us. We want to do what we want to do. And so there's a total rejection of the truths of the Lord. But Ahab didn't just stop there. Over in chapter 21, we see that Ahab was out walking one day and saw a vineyard that was real nice. It was probably better than any of the vineyards that he had. It belonged to Naboth. And Ahab asked Naboth to give me your vineyard. It's near to my house. I'd like to have it. why don't you give it to me? Or he says in verse 2, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth answered him, I can't give it to you, Ahab. It's my inheritance. God forbids us to give away our inheritance. I want to stand in what God has asked me to do. And Ahab, the king, says, became sullen and displeased. He began to pout. He went and lay down on his bed. He wouldn't eat food. He wouldn't do anything. And then his wife Jezebel came in and said, well, Ahab, what's wrong? And he spoke to her and said, oh, I want this vineyard. I want it so bad, but I can't have it. And she says, I'll get it for you. And Ahab should have known what Jezebel had in mind, that she had nothing good in mind. But he didn't try to stop her. And as the story goes on, Jezebel set up a court, brought in some false witnesses, made false witness against Naboth. And Naboth was convicted of falsely, taken out, and stoned to death. And when Naboth was stoned to death, Jezebel presented the vineyard to Ahab as a present. In chapter 21, verse 15, it says, it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass that Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. He had started out just rejecting the Lord. Then he had become covetous of what his neighbor had. And finally, he'd become an accessory to murder. What contempt Ahab had for the truths of the Word. And oh, I hope that there was none of us here this morning that have contempt for the truths of God's Word. None of us here this morning says, I don't want to hear that Bible. I don't want to hear what God has to say. I want to do what I want to do. I want to live my life the way I want to. Maybe someday when I'm older, maybe someday when I've had all the fun that I want to, when I've done everything that I want to do, then maybe I'll consider this book. But don't bother me with it today. I reject it totally. If you're here this morning with that attitude, and I would trust that there's not even one of us in this auditorium that has that attitude, you need the Lord. You need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He died on the cross to provide salvation for all those. In the sense, when before we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, every one of us was in that same position. To us, the Bible was held in contempt. We didn't believe it. We didn't accept it. We'd never put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So in a sense, though, we might have never gone out and murdered or worshipped idols. We were in the very same position as Ahab. But God offers to us a way of eternal life. God offers to every one of us this morning a way of salvation. If you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, why not receive Him this morning? You know, we don't have any idea how much time we have left on this earth, do we? Not a one of us has an idea of what this afternoon or tonight or tomorrow will hold. Just in this past week in the Hagerstown paper, there have been maybe three or four incidents of accidents and where people have died. Not, in just the spur of a moment, not knowing what might happen. There was a last weekend, a lady and her children driving along Interstate 70 and a deer ran in front of them. She swerved to miss the deer, lost control of her car, and ended up smashing it up off the interstate. She and one of her sons were killed and another was seriously injured. And I have no idea that lady probably thought that she drove down that road, that this was her last few seconds on earth. Friday night in Hagerstown, a deputy sheriff hit a car broadside, killing someone. If that person went on the road Friday evening, they had no idea probably if that was to be their last moment here on this earth. And for every one of us here this morning, we could not say with certainty that I'll be here this evening. We cannot say with certainty that I'll be here this afternoon. But there is one thing that is certain. If something should happen to us today, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll go to be with Him. If we don't know Him, we'll be lost for all eternity. And so what is your attitude this morning? Is it contemptible? Are you rejecting Him? Are you saying, no, I don't want the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you ready to say, yes, I want to accept the salvation that He offers? I want that gift that He freely gives. You know, boys and girls love to get gifts at Christmas, don't they? They can't wait to get in and open those packages and get those gifts. And yet God offers us the most wonderful gift in the world, and so many people reject it. Don't leave this morning rejecting that gift. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior if you've never done it. If you've never accepted Him, why not put your faith and trust in Him this morning? And so one attitude that can be had toward the truth of God's Word is contempt. Another attitude, turn back to Genesis chapter 4, is that it's changeable. There's an attitude in the world today that the truths of God's Word are changeable. They can be changed to meet the situation. Whatever's happening, we need to change God's Word to make it fit the situation that's there. And I think there's no better illustration of this than in Genesis chapter 4 and Cain. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bore his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought the first thing to the flock of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect to Abel and to his offering. But to Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou angry? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And to thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Cain and Abel both knew that the acceptable sacrifice was the sacrifice of blood. But Cain had all these beautiful vegetables. He had all this wonderful fruit of the ground that he had raised himself. And Cain must have thought to himself, why, if God will accept a lamb, why wouldn't He accept all of this beautiful vegetables that I've grown? I'm going to change it. I don't see any difference in if Abel brings a lamb, that's what he's raised. Let me bring the vegetables that I've raised, and that's what I'll offer to God. But God had no respect for Cain and his offering, because Cain was trying to change the truth that God had set down. God had set down the truth that the sacrifice was to be a blood sacrifice. And Cain thought that he could change it to suit his own purpose. And did it work? Certainly not. And we see what it eventually resulted in. The hate and the anger that Cain had there kept building up until he killed his brother Abel. A lot of people today want to change the truths that are in the Word of God. Make it more relevant to man's needs of today. Well, that might have been good for 100 years ago. That might have been good in the Apostle Paul's time. But we have to make it relevant for 1992. But yet the truths that were there 100 years ago, 500 years ago, they are just as sure today as the day when the authors of Scripture penned them. The Scripture, the truths of the Bible were unchangeable. Certainly there are things in the Word of God that not in the Word of God, but certainly there are things that concerning the way that Christians meet and the way that we carry on our meetings that aren't specifically pointed out in the Word of God. And there can be differences there. Just as, for instance, this morning we had the breaking of bread. Individual cups. There are some assemblies where this would be done differently. And while the Word of God doesn't specify on that line, there's differences. But when it comes to biblical truths, to biblical doctrine, we can't change them to suit our whims. We can't change them to suit the day that we live in. God's Word is unchangeable. That's part of God's character. God is unchangeable. And God's Word is unchangeable. And a lot of times today, the world wants to make the Word of God change to fit its own image. Put God in man's image, and then everything will be just fine. The Word of God makes me feel uncomfortable. Those truths make me feel uncomfortable. That's something that nobody wants to do today, is it? We don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. We want everybody to feel at home. And so you can go a lot of places today and there's just a little bit of something for everybody to make them feel comfortable, and we'll let them just interpret the Word in the way that they want to. But, oh, God's Word is something that we want to hold to, something that's unchangeable. Just as God is eternal, so His Word is eternal. The written Word is the same as the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Lord Jesus Christ was in the very beginning. He was with God, and He was God, and He doesn't change, and neither does His Word. And so a lot of people today want to have a changeable attitude toward the truths in the Word of God. And I trust that we don't. That we want to keep the Word of God firm in our hearts and our minds. And there's a third attitude toward the Word of God, and that's convenience. Now, I think Saul was one who looked at the truths of the Word of God in a convenient way. Look at me, with me at 1 Samuel chapter 11. Saul came to the throne of Israel. And Saul, in verse 13 of chapter 11, said, "There shall not be a man put to death this day, for today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel." King Saul was resting on the Lord. He says, "The Lord is the one who's wrought the salvation in Israel today. It's not me. It's not my army. It's not my own strength. But it's the Lord who's wrought this salvation." And in the beginning of his reign, Saul was strong in his determination to follow the truths that God had given him. But oh, how sad things soon began to change. If we return over to the 15th chapter, we find that Saul had gone out to fight a battle. And the instructions that were given to Saul when he went out to fight this battle was that everything was to be destroyed. He was fighting the Amalekites. They were idol worshippers. Everything was to be destroyed. And we would think that Saul would follow what God had given him to do. But in verse 6, it says that Saul said to the Kenites, "Go depart, go you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For we showed kindness to the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until I come to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people at the edge of the sword. God said all was to be destroyed. What did Saul do? He kept the king alive. And then in verse 9, "But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, but would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, they that destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night." Saul saw the sheep and the cattle, and how nice they were, and thought, and instead of destroying them, they said, "We'll just keep these things." Everything that was good, they kept. The best of the sheep, the best of the oxen, the fatlings of the lambs. Everything that was good, they kept. What was bad, they destroyed. God's command was that everything was to be destroyed. When it was convenient, Saul followed what God said. But when he saw something better that was more convenient to keep, he decided not to completely follow the instructions or the truths that God had given him. And we see that it got him into very great trouble, because Saul not only went from keeping the things, but also he turned to lying. In verse 12 it says, "Samuel rose up early to meet Saul, and it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him a place, and is going about and passed on, and is going down to Gilgal." And so Samuel came, and when Samuel came there in verse 14, Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we've utterly destroyed. Saul kind of tries to pass the blame, doesn't he? He says, they brought them, the people spared. He doesn't want to bring himself into it, but where it had been convenient for him to keep these things, now he's trying to back off a little. And then he says, well, we just kept them to use them for a sacrifice. Before, there was no indication that they had any idea of doing anything such as that with these animals, but now Saul says, we just kept them for a sacrifice. But Samuel says to Saul, over in verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is of the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is of iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. For Saul, it was convenient to follow the truths of the word for a while, and then it became convenient to fall off in his own direction. Samuel says to Saul, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Better to obey the truths of the Word of God than to find something more convenient for a time. And many people today look at biblical principles, and if they're convenient to follow, okay. But if something else comes along, they're ready to jump and follow that as well. It's kind of like Saul. Convenience, the principles of the Word of God are just something that's just a convenience to them. It's like, where you do your shopping. Probably many people every week, they'll get the ads out and they'll look at the grocery ads, and if this store has a lot more bargains than the other store, they'll find it more convenient to go to this store. But next week, maybe this store has everything reduced to half price. So that's where I'm going to go because it's more convenient and more saving to me. Well, in a sense, this is the way a lot of people look at the truths of the Word of God today. What meets my convenience, what meets what I want the most, that's where I'm going to do. Whether it means holding firm to the truths that are in God's Word, that doesn't matter, as long as it's convenient. And Saul found out that something else was more convenient for him. What did it cost him? It cost him his kingship. It cost him eventually his life, because he, in a sense, turned from what he knew to be truth to follow something else that was more convenient. And while we don't lose our salvation if we turn away from particularly following the truths that are in God's Word, it does cost us that fellowship with the Lord, doesn't it? It does bring about heartache and sadness. How important it is not to look for the convenience of the day, but to look for what is true in the Word of God. And so we've seen three attitudes towards the Word of God. One attitude is contempt, total rejection. Another attitude is changeable, make it fit the situation, make it fit the day. Another attitude is convenience. Whatever's convenient, that'll follow. The fourth attitude is the one that we should have. It's an attitude of conviction for the Word of God. To stand on those principles and convictions that are there. And I think we don't have a greater example again than one that's found in the book of Daniel. Daniel himself, in Daniel chapter 1, gives us the example of being in a conviction of the truths of God's Word. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, the children of Israel were going to be given the portions from the king's table. They were going to be given the food that the king's table had, the wine from the king's table, everything that the king's servants got, the very best of the food. But Daniel knew that this was wrong. He knew that this was not what he was to take of. And Daniel says in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel was willing to stand by himself. No one else went along, rather than to defile himself with that which was that he should not be partaking of. Daniel had conviction in his heart for the truths that he'd probably been taught from a very young person. And Daniel was not about to give up these convictions. Something that we're assured of is a conviction. And we're not going to give up those under any circumstances. Because if we did, then it wouldn't really be a conviction to begin with. And so Daniel purposed in his heart, it says in chapter 1. And then over in chapter 6, we see again in verse 3, Daniel was preferred. He was given a place above everyone else. But it brought about jealousy. And the other princes and presidents tried to find out a fault they could find with Daniel. But this is in verse 4, they could find no occasion or fault. The only thing they could find against him was his God, his convictions. The only thing they could find that they could do something to Daniel about was his convictions that he had. If we can trip him up on these convictions that he has, then we can get rid of him. And so they went in and they talked to the king and they really just lied and twisted the truth until they got the decree made that no one could worship anyone during this time. And they waited and watched Daniel. And in verse 10 it says, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he knew the decree had been signed, that nothing could be asked, no prayer from any man except the king, with the penalty of being thrown in the lions, then what did Daniel do? He went to his house, his windows being open, his chamber toward Jerusalem, and kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Daniel was firm in the convictions that he had. And he was not about to let the threat of a lion's den, not about to let the threat of death overcome those convictions. He was going to stand firmly in what he had been taught and what he had in his heart. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God, and off they ran to King Darius. Darius says, Daniel, this one that you've given us what great position, he's praying to someone else beside you. And the king sadly realized that he'd been duped by his presidents and underlings, and he said, the penalty has to be carried out. They took Daniel out, they took him to the lion's den, and the king says, Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And did he? Yes. When the morning came, Daniel was in the bottom of the lion's den, safe from the hungry lions that were there. Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, it tells us in verse 28. Why? Because he was willing to stand upon his convictions. God gives us truths in his word. God gives us truths that are there that we can either say, I don't want, I want to change. If it's convenient, I'll follow them. Or we can say, I'm going to follow these things no matter what it means. They are convictions that I want to hold in my heart. In Ephesians chapter 6, God tells us that he's given us something to help us stand in these convictions. You know, we're in a serious day. And this assault on the convictions of the Word of God is part of that battle that we're in. The battle between Satan, the host of Satan, and the Lord. And when we're tempted to give up our convictions, when we're tempted to abandon these convictions, it's all part of that battle. But God says in his word, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He has given us the strength that we need to stand in these convictions that we have from his word. He says, take the whole armor of God. He's given us this whole complete armor to cover us, to protect us, that we might stand in and hold to those convictions that are there. Our wrestling isn't against flesh and blood. It's not against mankind, but it's against Satan. Satan is the one that would try to get us to fade away from these truths that are in God's Word. But he says to us, take the whole armor of God. And when you've done it, then you're going to be able to stand in the evil day, to stand firm no matter what Satan throws against you. You'll have truth. And certainly that's what man tries to break down today, isn't it? Truth. If we can break down truth, then we can break down everything. And so they say, oh, there's no truth. Truth is just what you make it. Sin is only what is only there if you think it is. There's nothing really wrong. And so they try to attack truth. But God says, have your loins girded about with truth. Hold the truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is something that the world doesn't want to hear about, isn't it? They don't want to hear about, this is right, and you're wrong. This is sin. We don't want someone telling us that we're wrong and what we're doing is wrong. In school today, the idea is you don't tell a child that what they do is wrong. Let them work things out themselves, and eventually they'll come to know the right answer, but you might damage them if you tell them that their answers are wrong. Everything has got to be right. Everything, whatever anybody does, that's okay and that's right. But God says, have righteousness. Stand having on the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Does the world want to hear the gospel? Certainly not. They want to turn their backs upon it. But we know that this truth is the power of God and the salvation. And so we want to hold firmly our convictions to the gospel. And it says, take the shield of faith with which you should be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Trusting in the Lord. Not trusting in man. It's easy to put your trust in man. But if you have convictions, you're going to be able to put your trust in the Lord. And when those fiery darts come flying at you, you're going to be able to fight them off with the shield that He gives us. And take the helmet of salvation. The assurance from God's Word. The assurance of what He has told us is true. Knowing that it's not just a maybe, but it's not just possibly. But what God says in His Word is true, as our salvation is secure today as it was the day we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This precious Word, the truths that are there, hiding them in our hearts, that we may go out in that battle, fighting and having victory. And then He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Praying unto the one who hears us, the one who's able to answer, who's able to empower us, who's able to supply us day by day with the strength we need to stand by the convictions that are in His precious Word. As we think about the truth of the Word of God today, let's not say that we don't want to hear them. Let's not have contempt for them. If you're here and you're in that position, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's not try to change them to fit our own mold. Let's not try and follow them if they're convenient, but if they're not, well, that's okay. But let's hold to them with the conviction of Daniel, with the conviction that was able to face the roaring lions, with the conviction that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to face the fiery furnace. Let's hold forth, standing firm in these convictions that God gives us in His Word. As we stand on these convictions, we're going to have victory in our lives day by day. And we're going to see success as we reach out to men and women and boys and girls. We're going to see fruit for our labors as we try and reach those who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. Let's stand in His Word today. Just look to Him in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your precious Word. We thank You for the truths that Thou hast given us. Father, we would pray that You would just help us to stand firm in the truths that are there. Not to waver to one side or the other. Not to just accept them if they're convenient, but not if they're not convenient for us. Not to try and change it to meet our needs. But Father, that we might stand in the truth that You've given us, looking to serve Thee faithfully day by day. Again, we would pray that there be even one person here this morning who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today they might put their faith and trust in Him before it's eternally too late. And it's just in His precious name we pray.